Someone's asleep at the melatonin switch. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, there's news this morning that the economy grew by much less than expected in the first 3 months of this year, 1.1% growth compared to 2.6% at the end of last year when we annualize. Yet consumers are still buying vigorously, and the news on prices embedded in today's report is not what inflation fighters were looking for. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG.
Consumers were resilient. That's great news, but it came at a price. Core inflation actually accelerated, went in the wrong direction for the Federal Reserve, which solidifies the Fed's resolve to raise rates yet again in May and ups the ante about how far they have to go in terms of holding rates higher to derail the inflation that now looks like it's getting sticky in the U.S. economy.
Now, this report, despite the headline slowdown, showed consumers still at it. So where's the weakness coming from?
The biggest weakness was actually a drawdown in inventories. That consumer strength helped to drain inventories and also suppressed imports, because a lot of those inventories are imports. So not only did we have a major drawdown in inventories, which nearly offset the increase in consumer spending, we also had a slowdown in imports, which helped narrow our trade deficit a little bit. And those are the things that helped to buoy growth, even though the overall economy slowed.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at KPMG, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Some users of melatonin, the stuff people take without prescription to help them sleep, are getting slipped a lot more of the stuff than they bargained for. A new study in the Journal of the American Medical Association looked at 25 melatonin gummies and found that 22 were mislabeled. Most contained much more melatonin than advertised and had 4.5 times what was on the label in one case. And a few contain no detectable melatonin at all. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has that.
The study focused on melatonin gummies for a reason, says co-author Peter Cohen with the Cambridge Health Alliance.
It seemed to us something that a child might get into.
Or that parents might give their kids to help them sleep. And he says something around 5 milligrams of melatonin is perfectly safe for a small child. The problem is,
personally, I wouldn't be confident that the amount of melatonin listed on the label is in the product.
This is one of those kind of drop the mic revelations.
Christine Whelan studies the wellness industry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She says the supplement industry has boomed during the pandemic, and many consumers assume that the products they're buying have been tested for safety and efficacy. But really, the FDA can only investigate complaints after supplements are already on the market.
When you're spending money on something that you don't know what it is, you're taking a risk.
Not just a health risk, she says, but a financial one if you're not getting what you paid for. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Texas looks like it may be the next state to eliminate sales tax on menstrual products. It's the largest state that still has the tax. The movement to make pads and tampons more affordable is part of a larger campaign that Marketplace's Elizabeth Troval reports.
Inside a spacious suburban home, a group of Houston-area high schoolers rifle through large black trash bags and boxes brimming with thousands of donated tampons, pads, and liners.
These are the tampons.
These are the tampons over here,
right? And
the only tampon bag.
Okay.
And at this period packing party, 17-year-old Nitya Pakala and others are filling cardboard boxes with products to go to nearby elementary, middle, and high schools, where nurses have requested them.
A few of the schools literally need thousands of products, so it really shows how much they need it. And then they've also sent us follow-up emails we need the products ASAP. So that's why we're doing this all this today.
Pakala leads Period Pact Houston, which has joined other efforts across the country to address period poverty, which is when people can't afford menstrual products. Low-income women are especially impacted. One report in the National Library of Medicine found roughly 2/3 couldn't afford period products at least once in a year. George Mason University's Jhumka Gupta did a similar study looking at college kids.
14% of our sample reported experiencing period poverty in the year prior to taking the survey. and about 10% reported experiencing period poverty on a monthly basis.
Black and Latino students grouped to surveyed were more likely to be affected. And a different study of high schoolers showed that kids were skipping school because they couldn't afford pads and tampons. Laura Straussfeld says one simple way to make period products cheaper: stop taxing them.
Women have been paying billions of dollars over many years in tax on these necessities.
Straussfeld is with Period Law, a group of volunteer attorneys working to eliminate the sales tax that 22 states still have on period products. She argues,
one half of the population is paying an extra tax just because they need them biologically for a biological function.
And if you were wondering what things aren't taxed in Texas, think Band-Aids, chapstick.
You can buy Viagra untaxed.
Straussfeld is glad to see conservative states like Texas move to end these taxes that more progressive states already have done away with. I'm Elizabeth Troval for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.